is WWTC Minneapolis St. Paul. FM 107.5, K298CO Minneapolis. Intelligent radio.
With SRN News, I'm Jason Walker. Some Israeli troops leaving Gaza.
On Sunday, Israel's military announced it was drawing back forces from the 98th Paratroopers Division, who had been operating in the area of Khan Yunis in southern Gaza. The Hamas stronghold has been the main focus of Israel's offensive in recent months. That brings Israeli troop levels in Gaza to some of the lowest levels since the war began, raising questions about plans for the war going forward, especially the fate of the southernmost Gaza city of Rafah. The prospect of an Israeli offensive has raised global alarm, including from top ally the US, which has demanded to see a credible plan to protect civilians. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
More heavy rain near Sydney, Australia. Officials say thousands of residents have been evacuated. This is SRN News.
This week in the Town Hall Review with Hugh Hewitt, the U.S. abandons Israel before the U.N. We'll hear from Brett Baer.
I thought it was a big moment.
It's an alarming shift, because we have long been Israel's most reliable ally.
The world essentially wants Hamas to win.
Join us for our program and sign up for our podcast at townhallreview.com.
Tune in to the Town Hall Review Saturdays at 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Sundays at 5 a.m. and 11 p.m. on AM 1280 The Patriot.
Inside your 4 o'clock hour this Sunday afternoon here on AM 1280 The Patriot. Stay tuned. Coming up this hour, the Victory Hour with Andrew Parker and special guest Jonathan Tobin from the Jewish News Syndicate. Check it out coming up in moments, the Victory Hour with Andrew Parker. But first, a quick look at your evening forecast from the JTR Roofing Weather Center. Tonight's low drops down to 41 degrees, a bit breezy throughout your overnight hours. Tomorrow for your Monday, showers are likely throughout the day, mostly cloudy and a high of 50 degrees. It's AM 1280 The Patriot.
We all know that aches and pains come with simply getting older. But it doesn't mean you have to accept it. That's why I want to tell you about a special lady, Leah from Ohio, and her Relief Factor story. One Sunday, Leah was sitting on the couch in so much pain, she was literally in tears. That's when she decided to try Relief Factor. Just 8 days later, she found relief, and she continued to get better and better. To quote her, she said, "I am truly amazed at this product. Like me, who after 9, almost 10 years, almost a decade of low back pain, lost that pain thanks to Relief Factor. If you're living with aches and pain, see how Relief Factor, a daily drug-free supplement, could help you feel and live better every day. Get the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. It all comes with a feel better or your money back guarantee. That number, 1-800-4-RELIEF. ReliefFactor.com.
A Epiphany Catholic School strives to grow your students' heart and mind, to give students an education grounded in faith, knowledge, and virtue. Although educational styles change, the vision of faith-infused education never wavers. Epiphany is committed to forming students into saints and citizens for this world and the next. Epiphany Catholic School is located in Coon Rapids, serving students from pre-K through 8th grade. For more information, visit epiphanyschoolmn.org.
Dennis Prager here. Don't risk losing the trusted news, traffic, talk shows, and weather you get from AM radio stations. It's time to make your voice heard. We need Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act. Keep AM radio in cars. When internet and cell services are out, AM could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886. That tells Congress to pass the critical legislation. Or visit dependonam.com for more information. Message and data rates may apply, and you may text STOP to STOP.
You want to feel important. You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters, and that you can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We felt that way, too. I'm Sergeant Michael Tislin from Chaska, Minnesota, and that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Minnesota Army National Guard soldiers, we are people just like you, and together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit nationalguard.com/MN to find out more. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association, and this station.
If you can snap your fingers, you can find this radio station. Your smartphone is now your smart radio. There are no limitations on where you can find us. We're always on.
It's liberty and truth through your smart speaker.
Just say, play Freedom Radio, Minneapolis.
Don't get lost in the endless stream of misleading headlines. Turn to a leading source of conservative news. Townhall.com. Political cartoons.
Thoughtful commentary.
And an intelligent perspective on the day's headlines. Townhall.com.
A division of Salem Media Group.
The Victory Hour is paid for by Parker Daniels Keyboard, LLC.
Portions of the following program may have been pre-recorded.
It's time now for a smart, plain talk regarding politics, Israel, and the law. This is the Victory Hour with Andrew Parker of Parker Daniels Keyboard. Wise counsel, winning results. Now, here's your host, Andrew Parker.
I'm impressed with my attorney, Bernie. I'm impressed with his influential friends. He's got very big connections.
It's Sunday, 4 o'clock, and that means it's the best hour of in radio of the week. It's the Victory Hour. I'm Andrew Parker, and each Sunday we talk politics, Israel, and the law. And over the last many Sundays, in fact, for the last 6 months, that is 6 months ago today, the most barbaric Nazi-like attacks on the Jewish people or on anyone, really, since World War II occurred. 1,200 people barbarically massacred, and many, many more maimed, an entire nation scarred forever, an entire people forever, still devastated and in mourning. With all of those killed and maimed, more than 200 were taken hostage, and over 130 of them remain in captivity, dead or alive. And those that perpetrated this offense on humanity, barbaric, heinous offense on humanity, have pledged repeatedly to do it again. In the face of this, the West cowers. The West buckles. And the West is talking about actually allowing this to be resolved without resolution. It is incredible. In my judgment, it is despicable policy that is dangerous for a civilized society to continue when you reward this kind of conduct. And a little bit later on the show, I'm going to give you an update on the specifics and the details related to where we are at in the Palestinian-Israeli war. And by the way, as you know, if you listen to the show, I call it the Palestinian and Israeli war because that is what it is. It is not the Hamas war or the Gazan war. Hamas is Palestinian. They are Palestinians. And are all Palestinians a part of it? No. It's not what I'm saying. But it is continuation of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. And we are very, very fortunate today to be honored by the presence as our guest, repeat and returning guest, Jonathan Tobin, editor-in-chief of the Jewish News Syndicate, to also bring us up to speed and give us a little bit further analysis of not just the situation on the ground in terms of the warfare and what occurred and what is likely to occur, but also in terms of the political, the geopolitical and Israeli internal political implications of this war. Jonathan, welcome to the Victory Hour.
Thanks so much for having me on.
So I want to start kind of with my thesis in terms of the foundations of what occurred on October 7th and what has occurred since October 7th, and in particular, the response of the United States and of the West. How has that played into what we can expect to happen over the next several weeks and months?
Well, that's an excellent question, because the reaction of the United States in particular has changed since the immediate aftermath of October 7th. As much as one could blame President Biden for his policies of appeasement of Iran, that in many ways helped lead us to October 7th, his immediate reaction to the atrocities of that day, the largest mass slaughter of Jews since the Holocaust, was support for Israel, and just as important, support for the goal of eradicating Hamas.
And by the way, on this show, I emphatically said just that. I praised President Biden for his strong position at that time.
But, and it's a very big but, that position has gradually changed over the last 6 months. Almost ever since then, he has been backing away from that position of support for Israel. He has done, and that was even in the first weeks, he was doing his best to delay the Israeli counteroffensive into Gaza to eradicate Hamas. And ever since then, he has been, and the rest of his foreign policy team, has been second-guessing Israel, sniping at Israel, seeking to basically hamstring them in their efforts to force them to be as small-scale in their military efforts as possible. And it's culminated in these last few weeks with an almost complete position change, where he is now calling openly for a ceasefire, demanding a ceasefire, saying that if Israel doesn't halt and if Israel goes into the last remaining enclave of Hamas within Gaza, which they completely control, where the last four brigades reportedly that Hamas has that are operational are in Rafah. He says if Israel does that, then he will cut off aid to Israel. So he started off as sort of a very centrist, bipartisan consensus in favor of Israel. And now he's basically Bernie Sanders and the squad. And there's a reason for this. What's most important is for us to understand why this happened. Now, the facile explanation that we're getting from most of the corporate mainstream media is that the reaction to Israel's overreaction, that Israel's disproportionate attacks on Gaza, incredible casualties by the Palestinians have forced the United States and the world to try to rein in an out-of-control Israeli army and government, and that's why he's changed. That's a lie. Israel's military efforts have not been over the top. They have not engaged in indiscriminate attacks. I was there recently and, interviewed people in the military and the government. And, it's been very clear, you don't even have to be there to know that they have not done that. It's been very restrained. Israel has adopted the most restrictive rules of engagement possible for attacking combatants. The leading military historians of our time, who really are experts in urban warfare and military history, have all said it's unprecedented to have such low civilian casualties in urban combat. It's historic. No other army has ever killed fewer people in such a war where you have an enemy combatant not merely embedded among civilians, but using them as human shields, fighting behind them. And yet the casualties have not been disproportionate. So what's really going on here? And the answer to that question is politics. This is about the belief within the left-wing bubble that the White House lives in that they will lose the presidential election this year to Donald Trump unless they crack down on Israel. They believe they're losing their left-wing base. Democrats will stay home. Arab Americans in Michigan will stay home or vote for somebody else because he has been insufficiently hostile to Israel. I would say on its face, this is madness. Most Democrats are still going to vote for Biden, just like most Republicans are going to vote for Trump. They're not going to stay home. But even if some of them did, there are far more votes being lost in the center, in the pro-Israel center of this country. The people who are not necessarily on the editorial boards of the New York Times and the Washington Post or jabbering on MSNBC, who are supportive of Israel, who don't listen to the media narrative of media bias and really blood libels against Israel, he's liable to lose more centrist votes than he is left-wing votes. And when it comes to Michigan, if he's going to lose Michigan and he's behind in the polls, who knows what will happen in November, it will be because working-class Americans, not Arab Americans in our jihad capital in Dearborn, will vote for RFK Jr. or stay home. He's losing that state because the auto workers and Teamsters are appalled at his open border policies and inflationary economics, and they feel he's forgotten working-class Americans. That's why he's behind in the polls right now, there and in most of the other battleground states, not because he was too supportive of Israel for a few weeks.
We're talking to Jonathan Tobin, editor-in-chief of the Jewish News Syndicate, and no question that politics enter into it, but setting aside whether his analysis of his political fortunes in Michigan are correct or not, it is despicable that he is driving not just U.S. policy, but policy of the West, world policy as the leader of the free world. He is driving that policy not by humanitarian, civilized defense and opposition to Hamas and the atrocities, but rather by his own political fortunes as he sees them. That is no way to drive policy. Now, I'm not, Pollyannish enough to believe that politicians don't do that all the time, but this is a circumstance that is more grave than perhaps any other. We are sitting in a situation where it didn't take 75, 80 years for people to forget about the atrocities like it did in World War following the Holocaust. It has already forgotten in 6 months these atrocities, and they are horrific. You can hardly even speak of them. And the humanitarian warfare response by the Israelis is not disproportionate or over the top. Jonathan, we're going to break now for a quick time, well, to pay for all of this, and come back with you to talk more about the politics, but also the messaging that is so important behind this war. And what it looks like in terms of, I'm going to call it friendly fire or errors in warfare that can occur, and how that has impacted world opinion and judgment and policy as it relates to Israel in light of the aid workers recently, tragically killed by accidental fire. We'll be back with Jonathan Tobin, editor-in-chief of the Jewish News Syndicate. Make sure to stay with us. In the meantime, go to ParkerDK.com, ParkerDK.com. We'll be right back. How about this MyPillow guy? He turns his life around, invents a product that revolutionizes the sleep industry. But that is not enough. He launches a whole store of sleep and bath-related products. Hi, this is Andrew Parker with some wise counsel and winning results. Not about the law, but rather about high-quality sleep, which translates into high-quality living. And there's nothing better for high-quality sleep than MyPillow sleep goods. And I'm not just talking pillows. I've got most of the MyPillow sleep product line, from the 400 thread count bed sheets to the mattress topper, to the waffle blankets, down comforters, and the sleepwear, all top quality. Go to MyPillow.com to place your order or call 1-800-334-8902. Get up to 66% off with the special offer code VICTORY. Up to 66% off on your entire order with the special offer code VICTORY.
We're in dire need of roofing and siding. My name is Steve from White Bear Lake. This was my first opportunity to do business with JTR Roofing. They installed vinyl siding on my home. In addition, they also put a new roof on my house. In their contract, they had written up where if there was any overages or any rotten wood, they were very descriptive on what the overages would be if there were going to be any. So it was always a worst-case scenario, which is good for a homeowner because then you can kind of prepare for that. They were really good to work with. Nice guys. You know, I think they're fair. Fair pricing. Their guys communicate well. Looking at the shingle warranties, they seem to be better than some of the other warranties we were seeing from the other contractors. The workers that they had at our house were very respectful. They cleaned up. We see them around the community. I truly believe that they do have your best interests at heart when going through a major project like this. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts to it, and I think they did a really good job with explaining all of that to me.
For siding, windows, and roofing, contact JTR Roofing. Online at jtrroofinginc.com. That's jtrroofinginc.com.
Did your employer make you sign a promissory note when joining the company, and now you want to leave, but you're afraid your firm will pursue you personally for that debt? This is Jesse Keyboard from the law firm Parker Daniels Keyboard. I recently represented a client who had signed such a note, and I was able to get them out of their $500,000 debt to their company, which allowed them the freedom to exit a bad employment situation and enter a much better one. Meeting our clients' objectives is our focus at Parker Daniels Keyboard, and in this regard, we win. Our experienced trial team of lawyers at Parker Daniels Keyboard have secured major victories in state and federal courts across the country and through arbitration. We have the legal expertise in all types of business disputes, labor and employment matters, real estate matters, shareholder disputes, financial transactions, security issues, and appeals. For wise counsel, winning results, contact us at Parker Daniels Keyboard, a premier litigation law firm that provides efficient, aggressive, and innovative solutions to complex legal problems. Wise counsel, winning results. Go to ParkerDK.com.
Welcome, and thank you once again for joining us on the Victory Hour. Today, our special guest is Jonathan Tobin from the Jewish News Syndicate, indeed the editor-in-chief of the Jewish News Syndicate. Hey, pull out that yellow pad and number two pencil and jot this down. We have a full April coming up, and you won't want to miss it. Every Sunday, 4 o'clock. Next Sunday, we'll have Congressman Pete Stauber on the show. Following that by Republican Whip, one of the key leaders in the entire United States House of Representatives, Congressman Tom Emmer, will be on the following week, the 21st. And on the 28th, Congresswoman Angie Craig will be on the show. Talk to us from the other side of the aisle, Democratic Congresswoman Angie Craig, staunch supporter of the state of Israel in the face of the base of the Democratic Party, which is opposed to the state of Israel and which President Joe Biden is now buckling to, as talked about by Jonathan Tobin. Jonathan, you know, I recently read a report from the last couple of years, but they put it out frequently, talking about civilians who have died during death by accidental fire as collateral damage, which is a term we don't like to use, but certainly it is descriptive of what it is. More than 430,000 civilians have died as a direct result of U.S. War post 9/11. In various U.S. wars, over 430,000. An estimated 3.6 to 3.8 million have died indirectly in post-9/11 war zones. And more than 7.6 million children under 5 years old, according to these reports, in post-9/11 war zones are suffering from acute malnutrition. Now, the attacks on Israel for the accidental killing of aid workers this last week, which they immediately took responsibility for, launched an investigation, and within 3 days issued a report and I believe terminated two of the IDF superiors who were involved in that incident. Now, is this the type of incident that should rally the world into anti-Israel fervor?
Well, it was an excuse for people to do what they wanted to do anyway. People who have been basically attacking Israel nonstop since October 7th have been looking for every possible reason, every excuse to condemn Israel, to claim that its warfare tactics are barbaric, when the opposite is the case. In this particular instance, it was a tragic mistake. From what I have read, Hamas did their best to draw the fire. There was a reason why there was confusion on Israel's side, but it was a mistake. The wrong people got killed, and that's a tragedy. And if they're your family members, there's no no comfort that there's no excuses that will make you feel any better. But the truth is, things like that happen in war. And speaking as a journalist, as a journalist, you go to Gaza, you're putting any time, whether you're a journalist, an aid worker, anybody, you get yourself in the middle of a war zone. Doesn't matter if you're a non-combatant, doesn't matter if you're a living saint. If you put yourself in places where bullets and bombs are flying, something bad can happen to you. And, honestly, you're taking your risks then. That doesn't mean it was okay, but that happens. Now, of course, as you alluded to just a moment ago, it happens all the time when Americans are doing the firing. Let's just take you talk about hundreds of thousands have died in the wars that America has fought, justified wars, whether they turned out all right or not in Afghanistan, Iraq. The last gasp in Afghanistan is particularly memorable because when President Biden ordered that disgraceful rout, our skedaddle from Afghanistan, which left, hundreds of, billions of worth of equipment for the Taliban, abandoned our allies, American civilians. In the last gasp, as they were so trying to secure some of the withdrawal, at the very top, Biden may well have been involved, ordered a missile strike on what they believed was a Taliban target in Kabul. Tragically, they were mistaken and they hit a private home and they killed 10 people in one family, including 7 children. What did Joe Biden do? He left, the military and the people in the National Security Council to take the heat, to issue this statement. And he went to the beach that weekend. He didn't say anything. He's never said anything about it. And indeed, he's never taken responsibility. And as with everything that happened, quite frankly, in that disgraceful episode in American military history, nobody got fired. No. The Israelis immediately took action, firing 2 officers. And I'm telling people in Israel that was not necessarily fair. It was just, it was an unfortunate accident, but something that probably any military officer might have done under the circumstances. But this was just an excuse to turn on Israel, to speak of his wife, Jill Biden, that she says it's got to stop. Well, that Israel's killing too many civilians. Well, the point is, he didn't even mention the hostages, over 100 that are still being held, including 5 Americans. He stopped demanding that Hamas surrender. He stopped demanding that Hamas give up the hostages. He's put all the onus on Israel because, A, he hates Benjamin Netanyahu, Israel's prime minister. He's trying to get him overthrown. He's been trying that for the last, ever since he won the last election in Israel in November 2022. And he's trying to get a more pliable, more complacent Israeli government that will stop the war, that will let Hamas survive. The consequences of this for Israel would be catastrophic. Consequences for the United States would be just as bad. If Hamas wins this war, and if Biden gets his way, and Hamas is still standing when the firing stops, and that's what he's asking for with this ceasefire, they win. And they not only win, they become the primary force of Palestinian politics. You could argue they almost already are, but that any chance for peace, not necessarily even the fantasy of a two-state solution, but any chance for any kind of peace, it's a huge win for Iran. Every chance for peace goes out the window, not just for Israel, but for the entire Middle East. American interests are damaged, and he's doing it for what? This is the man who said he decided to run for president in 2020 because he was so angry about what he felt was the anti-Semitism on display in Charlottesville, Virginia in 2017 when, a few hundred neo-Nazis rallied, which was a horrible thing. But how is he planning on retaining the presidency? By appeasing anti-Semitic voters.
We're talking to Jonathan Tobin, editor-in-chief of the Jewish News Syndicate, and Jonathan, let me push back a little bit, because the Biden administration and many of my Democratic friends, both in elected office in Congress, as well as those who voted for them and put them there, many from the Jewish community ourselves, will say, no, Biden and John Kirby and Anthony Blinken have all been and continue to be very supportive of the removal and destruction of Hamas. It's just the way that it's being done that they are calling question of. It's the way that Israel is prosecuting this war that they are saying needs to change. And my question is, has there ever been, and you commented a little bit about it on the other side of the break, but has there ever been warfare prosecuted in a more humanitarian way than the way that the Israelis have done so? Warfare is not humanitarian. It is very difficult to be. And when everyone says the humanitarian aid has to flow and it has to go into Gaza, and it's taken over by the enemies of Israel, by Hamas and the soldiers of Hamas and the leaders of Hamas, stolen from the Gazan people, given to or taken by Hamas, when has anybody ever fed their enemy so that they are stronger to defeat? Because that's what Biden is asking.
Yeah, there really is no precedent in the history of warfare where a country that was invaded and attacked, as Israel was on October 7th, then seeks to eradicate, seeks to defeat the people who did this and who keep promising to do it again, that they are responsible not only for the safety of their own citizens, and not merely to take care in trying to avoid killing non-combatants, but that they are totally responsible for the welfare of everybody on the other side. Everybody who shared October 7th among the Palestinians, everybody who is supporting Hamas, everybody who is a member of Hamas, that Israel is totally in charge of their welfare, and that anything that happens to them, there's a claim that people are starving in Gaza. It's really unsubstantiated. But if anybody is starving in Gaza, it's not for lack of food or fuel being sent in there. Israel has had convoys in pretty much continuously, both before and after October 7th, in something that has never happened before in warfare. During World War II, did the Allies feed the Germans, the Japanese? No, of course not. We're trying to starve them out. Israel isn't that tough. But let's understand also, when you said that they don't like the way Israel is fighting the war, it's not just the humanitarian issue at this point.
Right.
They're saying, we want you to win. We don't like Hamas, but you can't go into Rafah. You can't, complete, you can't actually do what you have to do. They're saying, yes, destroy Hamas, but don't actually go where they are. Don't actually kill them. Don't actually occupy the places where their last stronghold is. In other words, don't win the war, lose the war. So that's just, they're talking, they've been talking out of both sides of their mouth for a long time. But now, and with their threat, with Biden's threats to cut off aid if Israel doesn't listen to him. And honestly, I'm not sure at this moment that we're speaking how much of what Israel is currently doing is as a result of fear of that cutoff, which is a real fear. Israel is dependent on American arms. Israel United States has made Israel dependent on it for arms, has discouraged it from manufacturing a lot of its own weapon systems. So it's they're basically saying, don't win the war. We're not going to let you win the war. We're going to let Hamas win. So that's incompatible with the idea that, yes, they're being supportive.
Jonathan,
yes, they started off supportive, but they aren't now.
I want to take a quick break, and I want to conclude our discussion about the prosecution of this war and what Israel has done and the lengths to which they have gone in order to prosecute perhaps the most humanitarian war ever prosecuted in human history. And then I also want to talk about the internal politics going on in the state of Israel. It's very interesting. Make sure you stay with us. We're going to be right back after this short break. We're talking with Jonathan Tobin, editor-in-chief of the Jewish News Syndicate. And go to Parker DK during this short break. We'll be right back. Mark Twain once quipped, "A lie can travel halfway around the world while the truth is still putting on its shoes." When you are lied about and it spreads, the resulting mayhem and destruction can be, and often is, disastrous. Hi, this is Andrew Parker, co-founder of the Parker Daniels Keyboard Law Firm. I recently handled a high-profile defamation lawsuit on behalf of a luxury home real estate agent whose business was decimated by falsehoods spread about him. After nearly 2 years of litigation and 2 weeks of trial, the jury came back with a verdict of more than $2 million for our client. Parker Daniels Keyboard. We litigate cases, we try cases, and we win cases. With a record of excellence in achieving extraordinary results, Parker Daniels Keyboard lawyers have consistently won huge verdicts for its clients in the areas of defamation, civil rights violations, regulatory battles, and intellectual property theft. For wise counsel and winning results, contact us at Parker Daniels Keyboard, premier law firm in downtown Minneapolis.
Have you been thinking about buying a hot tub? This deal is for you. Introducing the Dominion L740 hot tub, featuring ergonomic seating with a lounger, powerful jets, and customizable lighting. A luxurious experience tailored to your preferences. Transform your backyard into your personal oasis. This beautiful hot tub is now half price at $49.97.50 installed. Includes cover, stairs, and more. To claim the station's deal, go to mndeals.com. Don't wait. We only have one at this price. Visit mndeals.com now.
This is Dennis Prager, and now a truly exciting new benefit. My monthly online video get-together for PragerTopia Plus members only. For an hour each month, get an exclusive chance to ask me anything. I'll be answering your questions. I've never done this. Submit your questions for me at PragerTopia.com. This is our chance to connect like never before. Go to PragerTopia.com or click the banner at DennisPrager.com.
Hi, this is Andrew Parker with some wise counsel and winning results. First, the counsel. Go to MyPillow.com and take a look at the outstanding extended product line that they have. We're talking top quality products. How do I know? Because I have them. Slippers and slip-ons, robes, towel sets, throw blankets and loungewear. All best in class. And when you're done taking care of yourself, take care of the dogs, too. They have outstanding dog beds. Now for the winning results. Results happen once you order. So pick up your number two pencil and your yellow pad and jot this down. 1-800-334-8902. That's 1-800-334-8902. Or go to MyPillow.com. Place your complete order. And with the offer code VICTORY, you get up to 66% off. That's right. Victory for 66% off. We're back. It's the Victory Hour. Heck of a show. If you're not learning anything on this one, you're not going to learn anything. I mean, listen up. We're talking to Jonathan Tobin, editor-in-chief of the Jewish News Syndicate. We're talking about humanitarian warfare. Two words that don't seem to go together. But it's being demanded by the United States and the West like never demanded in the history of human consciousness. Ever. It's being demanded of Israel. The rules of war, in fact, have been broken. All precedent has been broken by the state of Israel to protect civilians. They have created the most protective system ever in the history of warfare. Reports have been written on it by those that study such things. And what has the other side done with respect to it? The side that apparently Joe Biden is wanting to make sure there's a ceasefire to protect them, and that is Hamas. They have put human shields, civilians, out in front in order to create the biggest numbers of death and casualties as possible. They have stolen humanitarian aid brought in by the Israelis in the hundreds, if not thousands, of truckloads. They have killed their own people by virtue of their malfunctioning rockets as well as assassinations within Gazan territory. And lastly, they have lied repeatedly about the number of casualties that have come out of Gaza. How is it possible, Jonathan Tobin, for Israel to prosecute this war in a way that would satisfy the United States, the administration of Joe Biden, and the West, France, Britain, Germany, all of those that are now piling on?
Quite frankly, it is impossible for them to satisfy what the demands that have been made upon them. The demands that have been made upon them are basically don't shoot, basically stop fighting. That's the only moral thing that they can do in the eyes of the West. And let's understand this. This is not about, you know, a friendly fire incident in which, you know, the wrong car was shot by, you know, with a missile. This is not about really even the bogus statistics. You know, I recently had on my podcast Abraham Weiner of the Wharton School in Pennsylvania, at the University of Pennsylvania, who exploded in his writings the Hamas statistics. You know, basically the Hamas statistics that are adopted by the mainstream media, echoed by the Biden administration, are nothing but lies. And they're just, if you know anything about statistics, as he pointed out to me, you know that the progressions are too clean, that everything, you know, and men have disappeared, even though, you know, thousands and thousands of Hamas fighters have been killed. But Hamas's statistics don't show any men. Everybody in Gaza is a woman or a child,
right,
according to them. So these are lies. So let's cut all of that away. What is this about? The international community is basically adopting the narrative that Israel is illegitimate, that it has no right to defend itself. For all the lip service that some of them, like President Biden, have paid to the idea of Israel's right to self-defense, they don't believe there is a way for Israel to defend itself against Hamas that they will live with, that they like. Of course not. They don't want this war to go on. They want Israel to just take the massacre and live with it. They want Israel to be defeated in this war. They're not thinking about the implications of this for the West, for the huge victory this will give Iran and the forces that are arrayed against the United States and the West. They don't think that this could happen here, that with our open border, that there's a possibility terrorists could attack this country again. They don't care about that because they're just focused. You know, all of the left-wing base of the Democratic Party, not every Democrat, certainly not every Democratic voter, but the left-wing activist intersectional base of the Democratic Party has adopted this false narrative from critical race theory and intersectionality that Israel is a vital state, which is lunacy. The majority of Israeli Jews are themselves people of color. The Palestinians and Jews, you know, Arabs and Jews are the same, are the same race. They're not different races. But they've adopted this narrative to say that Israel is a settler colonialist state. It is illegitimate. It deserves to lose, even when they aren't denying the truth of the atrocities of October 7th. They say it doesn't matter because the Jews had it coming, because they're the Nazis of today. It's all gaslighting. It's all, you strip it away. The attacks on Israel are not about Israel's policies. It's about anti-Semitism, because no other country in the world would be treated as Israel's being treated.
And it is so ridiculous to suggest that Jews are oppressors. I mean, it is turning life upside down. I want to shift our focus now, Jonathan, because I don't want to lose the opportunity having you on the Victory Hour to talk about something you're very knowledgeable about, and that's the internal politics in the state of Israel. Bibi Netanyahu is an embattled prime minister. He has been in the past, certainly a number of times, and he has always, incredibly, always survived and returned. I think this one may be too much for him, but what is happening in terms of Netanyahu and whether he can survive? And then secondly, I'd like to get your sense of his attempt to rein in media coverage of this war, particularly by passing the Al Jazeera law, which you can explain.
Well, I'll do the second part first. It's pretty simple. Al Jazeera's correspondents in the field are basically operating to help Hamas. They're giving away Israeli troop positions. They're not playing by the rules that other journalists have played by, that normally play by. It's basically, and since they're owned by Qatar, which is connected to Hamas, and it's their main ally, along with Iran, the source of funding, you know, it's basically enemy media. You know, it's like saying that some Nazi newspaper would have a right to publish in the United States during World War II. Did Israel have to do it? No, it didn't. But honestly, it's for the security of its own troops. So, you know, the idea that this is an offending freedom of the press. I mean, nobody in the United States cares that there's no freedom of press in Ukraine, where, you know, Zelensky has banned anything that is, you know, not, you know, pro his government. So it's hypocrisy. It's nothing.
Oh, another form of hypocrisy. What a shock.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Netanyahu is in a difficult position for sure, for a lot of reasons. Number one, October 7th happened on his watch. And he ultimately, as, you know, the political echelon bears responsibility, so does the military and intelligence establishment. They all failed. Honestly, so did the opposition, because it's not like anybody in the opposition thought the policies that were in place that allowed, you know, October 7th to happen, the complacency that Hamas could never really attack, that they were satisfied with what they had. They were all wrong. Everybody in the political establishment, and the leader of the opposition himself, who's a former IDF chief of staff, he's the author of some of the same failed policies. But obviously, this is what's going on now in Israel, is a carryover from last year's controversy about judicial reform, which split Israel down the middle. And what's happened is that the hostage issue has sort of been taken over in part by the anti-Netanyahu resistance, which has been seeking to overthrow him, topple the government ever since he won the last election. You know, I've been there in Hostage Square in Tel Aviv on a Saturday night, listening to some of the speeches. And honestly, they never mention the word Hamas. They just talk about Netanyahu. They act as if Netanyahu took the hostages, you know, as if he took the hostages, you know, captive, and that he's holding them in his basement.
Yeah.
You know, and that if just with a snap of his fingers, he could get them released. That it's nonsense. And honestly, these attacks on Netanyahu on this, and Biden's attacks on Netanyahu, have caused Hamas to harden its stance. They're not going to give up a single more hostage unless they get Israel to stop the war entirely.
That's a huge
and
point.
So, huge. You know, it's just a basic thing. If you want to free the hostages, you would have done everything but what, you know, sort of the anti-Netanyahu left in Israel has done and what Biden has done. And quite frankly, not only any of the hostage families for saying whatever they want. When your family member is in danger, you trade the whole world for your loved ones. Any one of us would do the same.
Sure.
But Netanyahu's responsibility is for the safety of Israel as a whole. And those bashing him on this issue are being really irresponsible. Now, I don't think there's going to be an election while there's a war on. You know, it's a parliamentary system. And Netanyahu still has, you know, 64 of the 120 seats in the Knesset. And an election can only be held if those 64 people, or at least 61 of them, vote themselves out of a job. So the expectation that that's going to happen anytime soon, since they have more than 2 years, another 2.5 years to run on their term to which they were elected. You know, I'm skeptical that that's going to happen anytime soon.
Skepticism, no doubt. Jonathan, we're going to break. Are you able to stay with us for our last short segment? Great. Wonderful. Okay. Jonathan Tobin joining us on the Victory Hour, editor-in-chief of the Jewish News Syndicate. We have our last break and our last segment to follow. It'll be an interesting one. Stay with us. Go to ParkerDK.com. But don't go far. We'll be right back.
Are you a business owner? Are you losing sleep because you feel your partner isn't carrying their weight or because you no longer share the same vision or values? Are you no longer comfortable going into your own office? Are you walking on eggshells in the company you built? This is Chris Daniels, founding partner of Parker Daniels Keyboard LLC, a premier litigation law firm headquartered in downtown Minneapolis. For more than 30 years, I've specialized in business litigation and have helped hundreds of business owners resolve troubling business disputes. As a former certified public accountant, I get to the heart of the dispute, including financial issues. Business divorce can be messy, time-consuming, and costly, but doing nothing can cost you a lot more. Not just money, but emotionally, physically, and in your personal life. If you and your business partner no longer see eye to eye, and you're eager to take a proactive approach and make a change, please call me at 612-355-4100 and schedule a consultation. Or visit our website at www.parkerdk.com.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, CarShield is announcing a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free quick quote. Call 800-353-2973 now. Drivers who are covered will not have to pay for covered repairs again. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Additionally, drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Call us for your free quick quote today. 800-353-2973. That's 800-353-2973. What do you have to lose? Call 800-353-2973. Again, 800-353-2973.
The best way to get a good night's sleep is having a good pillow. One that won't go flat. One that you can wash and dry as many times as you want, and it maintains its shape. One that is made right here in the good old U.S. of A. Well, there's one place and only one place where you can get all of that, and that's from the MyPillow guy, Mike Lindell, the creator of the best pillow that revolutionized the sleep industry. Mike is offering his premium MyPillows for his lowest price ever right now. You can get a queen-size premium MyPillow for $29.98. That's a $40 savings. King pillows are only $5 more. How do you order? Call 1-800-334-8902. That's 1-800-334-8902. Or go to MyPillow.com and use the discount code VICTORY. That's right, discount code VICTORY for this special offer. We're back. It's the Victory Hour. We're joined today by Jonathan Tobin, editor-in-chief of the Jewish News Syndicate. Had a very interesting discussion. We have a short segment remaining. And, Jonathan, I wanted to ask you about two things. First, what impact might there be on the recent arrest of the leader of Hamas, Haniyeh's sister, that the Israeli forces recently arrested? And then lastly, if we have a minute or so, I'd like you to comment on the impact of messaging coming out of the United States, and in particular, the mainstream of the Democratic Party.
Well, I'm not going to draw too many conclusions from that particular arrest. Israel security services, you know, whatever criticism that might be made of them for their failures on October 7th, they've done a pretty good job keeping Judea and Samaria, the West Bank, under control, despite Hamas's best efforts to start a second front against Israel there. I think it's, you know, they've made it very clear they're not going to tolerate any Hamas activity there. You know, this dovetails with the security cooperation that they have with the Palestinian Authority, which has never condemned the so-called moderates, which continue to support terrorism financially, never condemned October 7th. The United States is involved in this, you know, charade again of trying to, you know, dust them off and pretend that they're a force for peace. They're not. But, you know, Israel keeps them in power because they're better than Hamas. It keeps Mahmoud Abbas, who's currently serving in the 19th year of the 4-year term to which was elected in 2005. And there's been no election there since because he's afraid that Hamas will win. And he's likely right. So Israel keeps him alive, too. So I'm not going to draw conclusions about that. Now, as far as messaging, we have to understand this is for Israel. If you're in Israel, you talk to people coming out of the battle, you talk to people who are about to go in, you talk to ordinary Israelis, no matter what they think about Netanyahu, the overwhelming majority of them support the war because they know this is a fight for their lives, their families, their homes. It's an existential conflict because Hamas's goals are not a two-state solution. It's not about changing Israel's policies. It's about Israel's destruction and the genocide of the Jewish people. Hamas are the latter-day Nazis. They are a genocidal organization. And the horrible atrocities, the orgy of mass murder, rape, torture, you know, wanton destruction and kidnapping that occurred on October 7th is just the trailer for what they intend to do to the rest of Israel if they get the chance, and keeping them alive, as Biden's policies now are doing, would ensure that. So that's the message that the world has to get about this. And, you know, those who wish Israel's destruction, which is unfortunately a growing segment of the left wing of the Democratic Party, that you listen to these people on campuses, the mobs in the streets of our cities and on campuses chanting for Israel's destruction, chanting for terrorism against Jews everywhere. They don't care. But the overwhelming majority of the American people don't support this. And we have to reach out. We have to understand. And we have to speak up. If you're a citizen of this country, Jew or non-Jew, any decent person must speak up against what Biden is doing, speak up in favor of the eradication of Hamas, not just for Israel's sake, but for our sake and for the West, because this is part of a war against Western civilization. When we forget that, when we ignore what the other side wants to do and has done, we're just ensuring that it will happen again.
The destruction of the state of Israel is a statement. It is an action contrary to Western civilization. And this is a war for humanity. And those, particularly on the liberal left, need to stand up and be heard, because true liberals do not believe in what Hamas believes in. True liberals do not believe in the destruction of the state of Israel, the democratic state of Israel, the free and those that are imbued with liberty state of Israel. No. And liberals need to recognize that. Senators like Amy Klobuchar here in the state of Minnesota need to stand up in the face of those on the left in her party and speak truth to what is becoming power. Jonathan Tobin, thank you so much for joining us on the Victory Hour. Editor-in-Chief from the Jewish News Syndicate, a fantastic session with you today, and I appreciate very much your insights.
Thanks so much for having me on, and everybody should go to JNS.org, sign up for our twice-a-day newsletter. You'll get all the information you need about Israel, the Middle East, the Jewish world, and about politics and foreign policy. We appreciate it, and thanks again for having me on.
You bet. JNS.org. Go there. You'll learn. Justice. Join us next week. Mercy. When we're going to have...
The Victory Hour is paid for by Parker Daniels Keyboard, LLC.
Hear the top voices in conservative radio on your Amazon smart speaker.
Now streaming AM 1280 The Patriot. Intelligent Radio.
Just ask Alexa to play the Patriot Minneapolis. That's play the Patriot Minneapolis.
You want to feel important? You want to be part of something bigger? Something that matters and that you can help change things? You want to feel like you belong? We felt that way too. I'm Sergeant First Class Chris York from Glencoe, Minnesota, and that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Minnesota Army National Guard soldiers. We are people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com/MN to find out more. Sponsored by Minnesota Army National Guard, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Did you hear Michelle Tafoya interview Al Michaels? What about Bob Costas? Hear her fascinating take on those two and more on the Salem Podcast Network. Hear intelligent radio through your smart speaker. AM. Just-